Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Try and tell you a funny story. Do you guys want to hear it? Okay, so just bear with me. Just after Thanksgiving last year, the family gathered together at the dinner table at the house, and Mom had just returned from visiting my sister in New York City. She was having trouble with asthma, and she was tired and short of breath. While in New York, she felt poor enough to see the doctor, so naturally, we were concerned for Mom. After dinner, I noticed that my mom's hands were blue. Without trying to alarm her, I'm asking a few questions. Mom, are you feeling all right? Are you having trouble breathing again? My daughter, who was knew a good deal about medical backgrounds and first aid training, was also concerned. The more questions that we began to ask, and the sicker she started feeling. Have you ever been around someone like that, hypochondriac? Like, oh yeah, I think I do feel that way. Okay, so this is what's happening in this situation. And finally, she wanted to go and head home. I didn't know if she would be okay when she got there. I didn't want to alert her any further, so my dad took her home. We discussed this all as siblings around the table and how serious this could be. Should we go with her? Should we have let her go? Should we have called an ambulance? I don't know if her circulation is running. My sister in New York explained the whole situation to us over and over again, and now we are really worried too. But during our conversation, an incoming call came in, and it was my dad. He put us on the phone and he said, you don't need to worry about your mom or take her to the hospital. And yes, her hands are blue. And they were a symptom that she was not, those are symptoms of her not getting oxygen. But my father's comments immediately put my fears at rest. Listen, daughter, don't worry about your mother. We figured out why her hands are blue. In fact, her whole half of her body is blue from the waist down. She had bought herself a new pair of jeans and it got all over her. We felt much more relieved after that. I don't know about you, but whenever I get a new pair of jeans, I'm always like, oh, ruin my phone case, you know, because I put it in the back pocket, you know, or whatever. So I just thought that was funny. Did I do good? Okay. All right, now you're going to get Jess, okay? That was a homage to my family. All right, so girls, many times we gather together, we have so many fun things that happen around us, right? And then we get in our alone space, and I've been working with someone, she's a health coach, okay? And so I'm like trying to get myself back in shape. Have you ever done this? So like I ate cookies from November, beginning of GNO, all the way to the middle of January, right? Because like my daughter is the best baker in the whole world. And so I'm like, I don't even care, I'm gonna eat these cookies. Well, it took me all this time to put on 15 extra pounds, so these are the fat pants that normally should fall off, and they're very tight, right? So I'm like, okay, so we need to do some work. And so as I'm alone and I'm praying and the Lord gives me a plan for this, he also sent me someone beautiful, near and dear. I don't even know if she's here, but she's amazing. Giselle, if you're here, she's a health coach. And so Giselle began to ask me all these questions. And I'm on the phone with her going, well, I don't know. Well, yeah. And you know, you want to fib a little. You're like, oh no, I didn't eat sugar at all. And my thing is like, I eat this new sugar called monk fruit. And she's so good. She's like, oh, that's great. Yeah, monk fruit's good. Like, that's good to go. And as we began talking, she started asking me some questions about, what are your goals? What are the things you like about yourself? What are the things that you would say your strengths are? And I realized that every answer I had was reflected with the church. Or maybe it was what somebody else maybe thought of me. And then when I wanted to label maybe things that I thought were my strengths, you know what happened? The enemy came right in and he stole that from me. And he said, yeah, but so-and-so said they didn't like that about you. So you better not say you're passionate because they say that's offensive. Or you better not say you're tenacious because that is too much for people and you turn people off. And all of a sudden I started thinking to myself, yeah, no, I don't know if I have any strengths at all. Like, I'm just a person floating around in this world. And she was like, okay, Pastor Jess, like, let's have you journal and write this out. And so it was really a great journal for me to not look at myself in someone else's view, but to look at myself in God's view. And so as we were stepping into Proverbs 31, I began studying. Now, how many of you have been around our church for a long time? We have heard Pastor Deborah preach this message, and she is like the ultimate of all ultimates preaching it. So no intimidation at all, right? Like none at all. And so as I'm studying, I studied girls for like 3 days over Pastor Deborah's notes. And I was like, all right, I know, this is not me. And I was like, God, what do you want to do? And Teresa walks in my office and she goes, can you not do that? Just do what is on your heart. Right away, I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? Boom, dropped it on me. And he said, and I said this to him, I said, I'm having a hard time preaching Proverbs 31. Because we live in a culture, in a day, and a generation that we don't celebrate the things that our community as women used to celebrate. We used to look up to bearing children and having husbands and keeping homes. We used to look up to those things. We used to say, I actually want to strive in that way. I actually think that now we're like, oh, I don't want no husband because I'm a man hater. And I don't want them kids because when, oh my goodness, I have the weekends off and I can't wait to send them back to school again, you know? And you're laughing because we feel this way. But the reality is that as God began to minister to me, he said, it's okay. Because I knew all those years ago that Proverbs 31 would be relevant for the girls that are going to show up at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and that I have a word for them in this time, in this season. And so before you turn off, okay, because maybe you're not married, and you're going, oh, there's a message for married people. I'm going to check my Instagram. I'm going to go and play around. No, because this is not just for the married people. We're the single girls in this house. God has a word for you. God has a plan for you, and God has a path that he needs you to begin to walk down. And so we're going to step into this. Proverbs 31 is so incredibly powerful. In fact, as I studied it, I thought, well, we could go down this road and we can go down this road, but I only have 40 minutes, so we're going to go down the road God gave me, okay? But I love how God loves women. Did you know God loves us? Think about this for a second. He created Adam. But before he created Adam, the heavens, the earth, the fish, and the land, and then God ended it with Eve, right? He did Proverbs 31. Here's wisdom, 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 wisdom. Wisdom did this and wisdom did that. And then God had to finish the chapter with woman. You see, God tops it off with what is special, sweet, and tender to his heart. And he loves us girls. He has a place for us in his kingdom. I don't care if you feel that you don't have a place in your family, if you don't have a place in your job, if you don't have a place, you always have a place in the kingdom of heaven because that is what he's equipped us for. And so that's what God wants to teach us during this. Proverbs 31 is so packed with teachings and full of wisdom. Did you know that there are 22 scriptures starting in Proverbs 31:10 all the way to 31, and every scripture is a Hebrew letter and symbol that also parallels with Psalms 119 because God just was like, let me go deep on them. Let me go ahead and let them know that every single verse in Proverbs 31 has a meaning and a symbol. And listen, if you go to your city circles, you're going to find out what they are. You're going to dig deep into the word. You guys are going to get into some deep conversation, some fun conversation. You're going to understand your strength and where it comes from, all of those things. So you need to get into a city circle. But before I begin with Proverbs 31, I felt like the Lord wanted me to actually go back to Proverbs 30. And I went, what are we talking about, God? At first, I went up into Proverbs 31 where it was Lemuel, King Lemuel's mom, telling him, you know, what it looks like for a godly woman to be married to a godly woman. And then she's talking to him first, and then she talks to a godly woman. And the Lord said, before you go there, you need to understand and teach them first who I am and the world that they're living in. You guys ready? He's going to drop some truth on us really quick. Proverbs 35 through 6 says, every word, not some words, not the ones we choose, not the ones we like, and the ones we don't like that we never go to and we never read because those verses freak us out, right? No. Every single word of God is pure. You can't say that about anything in our lives. Not one thing in our world is pure. If you turn the news on, you're going to see the sickness of this spiraling world that we live in. But yet, God's word is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Oh, take a deep breath in that. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. When God says it, so be it. It is done, and that's how it is. When somebody takes the word and they twist it to make it what they want it to be, God rebukes them and he calls them a liar. You see, God knows what he's doing. So then in Proverbs 30, a little further down, he goes into this. He starts talking about a generation. I want you to hear this. There is a generation rising that curses their fathers and speaks evil of their mothers. There is a generation that is rising, considering themselves to be pure in their own eyes. Hold on. Who's pure? The world or God? But we as people in the world have seen ourselves as higher and greater than God. And God is putting us back into place that he is the sovereign, he is the almighty, he is the maker of heaven and earth, and we are his daughters. We are the ones that are in submission to what his word says, and we step out in faith and activate it through who he is, not who we are. So when the world is looking at themselves and this generation is filled with pride and they think that they are superior, they lock down on others. This generation, verse 14, is rising and they use their words like swords and they cut and they slash those who are different. Does this not sound like us? They would devour the poor and the needy and the afflicted from the face of the earth. Girls, this sounds so familiar because it's the world we live in now. All those years ago, God wrote about it. All those years ago, God said, I know this is where you're going to be, and let me tell you something. I have a plan for you to live there. I have a plan for you to be filled up, equipped, and be able to stand firm when the wiles of the devil come against you, when the trickery of men want to deceive you. I have a plan, but you have to know who you are, daughter. You have to know where you stand. You have to know me in such a deep, meaningful way that when the enemy comes to steal me from your heart, you will not allow that to be what happens and takes place in your life. You see, God has a plan. And he knew this was going to happen. So in chapter 30, he's talking about the world. Then he stretches over into 31. She's telling him how to be a man of God. Ooh, I like that. And then in Ephesians 5, she's talking to him and she's telling her son. I mean, I have two sons. And if I could say anything to the sons, I would love to give them a big long list of things that I expect from their wife. Right? But girls, we can't do that. But she did. Right? And I'm just going to take her list and hand it to Micah and Titus one day. And I'm going to be like, this is the girl you want to find, okay? Because God has a plan. But when God begins to use terms in these scriptures like wife, I don't want you to turn off. Maybe you've had some broken marriages and you're going, I'm not nobody's wife no more. Thank you, Jesus, because that was a bad marriage. Or maybe you're broken because you wish that marriage didn't fall apart. You see, this could be a point of pain, and that's what the enemy is so done, is deceive and twist what God created. And when he talks about a man and a woman being married and the unity of marriage and what should come from it and where it comes from, Pastor Jim preached an incredible message last night on it. You can go back and get the tape if you need some marital advice. Go ahead and listen to it. It's out of Ephesians 5. But then God is talking to us as women, and he's talking about marriage. And I said to the Lord, God, what are you saying? Because I'm a married woman and I get this. But if I was a single girl, I'd feel left out. And God goes, do I ever leave anyone out, Jess? I never leave anyone out. And he goes, I want you to understand that this is a picture of me and the church. This is a picture of my daughter and me having a relationship. This is a picture of what I expect you as my daughter to step into, because that is what I built into your DNA when I formed you in your mother's womb. And you didn't know that, because when you stepped into this world, sin separated us. And you had to find me again. But when you found me, daughter, when I found you again and we were reunited, the DNA began to untwine, began to be pulled up out of you. And this is a picture of not wife, but woman, and what I've asked and what I put in you and what you're equipped for and where you're going to go. You see, as we get into this, you're going to see that God covers all the basis of woman. God made us the way we are, and we should never apologize for that. I love that women can laugh and cry at the same exact time. I love it. I love that I can be in 5 different text messages at the same exact time, where my husband has one message that he's talking to somebody, and I can always tell when he's not talking to me because I go, Uh-huh. And I'm like, you are not even listening to me. Oh, I was. What did I say? You see, it's a gift, right? It's just a gift. So they can call us Gabby, they can call us Naggy, they can call us whatever they are, but whatever it is, it's needed because it's gonna keep your children alive, it's gonna keep you alive, it's gonna save your marriage at times, and you're not gonna get ripped off at a store when somebody tries to take advantage of you, right? So, woman is a beautiful picture from heaven. Now let me tell you what woman is not. Woman is not, Proverbs 31, is not a job description for women, nor is it a shopping list for men. It is an example of an abundance that God gives us over time as we grow and we know him more and more. It's a love letter between us and God. As a single woman or a married woman, it is a good reminder that the husband and the kids are not the prerequisite to receive all that God has for you in your life. So let's read Proverbs 31, okay? We're gonna go all the way to verse 15. Proverbs 31, 10 through 15. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Her heart for of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and is willing to work with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She arises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. I love this because we're going to stop there. We're going to revisit each verse as you guys come and we meet in groups as well. But God is talking to us about being a virtuous woman tonight. And I want you to say that, you know, we've had these shirts and I knew that people didn't understand what they meant. I am her. You can read Proverbs 31 and go, I'm not that girl. Like, I'm inadequate. I'm not good enough. I actually just chewed my husband out before I got here. Like, I didn't make anyone dinner, but I ate dinner. And like, right? We could totally be that girl. But it's not about that. I want us to look deeper into Proverbs 31, okay? I want to tell you something. You are her. You just don't know her yet. And we're going to learn who her is so that I can be her and I can confidently say, I am her. I'm this girl. And when I learned who I was in Proverbs 31, my husband could never tell me not to shop anymore because I was like, well, I'm like a merchant ship out looking for, like, I was like, I'm just finding the wool and the flax. Like, I don't know what you're complaining about. Talk to God about this. Like, this is what he gave me. I don't know how to change this. A virtuous woman. What does that mean? In the Hebrew, it means kael. This is crazy, right? Kael. I love that. And do you know what it means? It means valor, strength, ability, and efficiency. Woo, I want to be that girl. And then it's mentioned 2 times only in the Bible. Now, this is talking about the married woman, but do you single girls want a verse for you? Because God uses the same Hebrew word for Ruth before she was married. In Ruth 3, 10 through 11, the Lord blesses you, my daughter. And Boaz explained, you are showing even more family loyalty now than you ever did before. For you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary for everyone in the town to know that you are a virtuous woman. Listen, your life speaks. Ruth was just a hard worker. She was faithful. She just followed God. She heard the leading of God. She followed every step he asked her to do as a single woman, and he brought her Boaz later on in life when the time was right. See, God has your number whether you're married or you're single, so let's learn what these verses mean tonight. How do I become this virtuous woman? More like, I like this question better. If I am her, then how do I be her? Right? Because I don't want someone to tell me what I am and then not tell me how to be this thing. Because then I'm walking out these doors like, I am her, but really not being that. I want to be what I say. When I say something, I want it to happen. When I believe something, I want to see God move on my behalf. So how do I do this? You guys ready? Get your pen and paper out. This one is going to be so hard. Actually, it really will. Number one, I rely on God. We're control freaks, girls. All of us. So don't look at the girl next to you and be like, mm-hmm, I know my friend is. That's why I brought her tonight. I'm so glad she's here. Listen, if you're amening thinking about someone else, it's probably for you. Because God says that he wants to be everything to you. He wants you to understand that in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. But so many times we don't even step into that because we've controlled our role and the people in our role, and we've controlled our circumstances because it's a comfort zone for us. It's a place of security, right? If I know that what's coming, then I can be prepared, right? I'm not gonna be caught off guard. No one's gonna get me down again. I'm gonna build my walls so that nobody's allowed through. But the reality is God's going, you built your wall so high, you kept me out. And God is saying, I need you to break down those walls. It's time for a woman of God to rely on me. Proverbs 31:10, a virtuous woman. I love this. I love what he says about her. He says, I'm going to go back to it. Sorry, my notes are different. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. I can't say that I'm far above rubies if I look at myself in the mirror, right? The first thing I'm going to do is go, how did the hair get this frizzy, right? Or I'm going to go, oh, the pimple, or oh, boy, the wrinkles are coming. Yep, 40's coming soon. You're going to beat yourself up, right? You're going to be like, nobody wants to see me in shorts because of cellulite and cute, okay? That we're going to beat ourselves up when we look in a mirror. But God is saying, can you stop looking in that mirror and seeing what you see and begin to see what I see? That means that you're going to have to rely on me for the things that are uncomfortable to you. You're going to have to rely on me for the things that you can't control. Or I'm going to have to put situations and allow things in your life so you have no control and you finally have to rely on me. Because he loves you so much that he wants to rescue you from hell. And so if he has to have something bad, let something bad happen. Not that God puts something bad on us, but sometimes these things happen in our lives. And not because God wasn't there or God didn't hear, because you know what? Sometimes life just happens. And we can blame God and devils and doorknobs and all those things all we want. You can go home and be like, in the name of Jesus, I can feel you, spirit, da da da, and it's really just your cat walking across the room. And God is saying, you don't even know me enough to hear my voice to know that that's foolishness. I want you girls to be a virtuous woman so much that you could go, Holy Spirit, was that, did I pick up that right? Or am I like being crazy right now? He'll be like, you're being crazy, there's nothing. Or he'll be like, nope, that's a spirit of fear. You need to go pray that out of your home right now. You see, a virtuous woman is in one-on-one communication with the heavenly realm. A virtuous woman says, sure, I love my husband, but Jesus is my man. And I honor my husband, but Jesus is my number one love. And when you begin to switch the pages of our mind into stepping into this strong woman, you no longer approach the throne room like this. Like, hi, God. Okay, so like, I don't know if you're up there listening to me tonight. But you stand up and you go, hey, God, it's your girl. And these people are messing with my kids. I need you to remove them out of their life. And God, what's your plan? He's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you who to talk to. He's going to tell you how to pray them out. Come on, girls, pray those people out of your kids' lives. He's going to give you a plan, because a woman who has virtue seeks the face of God and relies on it. When we do it in our own ability and we become our own control freaks, you're going to reap what you sow. So you're going to sow panic and chaos into your family's life. Have you ever been around someone and they're just like, okay, this is how it's going to go, da 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 da. And then when it doesn't go that way, they fall apart, right? And you're like, pull yourself together. We're all still breathing. Like, life is still good. You know, the balloons didn't get here for the party. It's going to be okay. All right? Take a breath. Take a step back. Rely on God. Take a deep breath. God wants you to do this because he wants to teach you some things when you let go. When you let go, God begins to drop the wisdom on you. I call it Bible thumping with me. I'm like, come on, God, thump me over the head because I'm not getting it. And he's like, all right, if you really want this, here it comes. And it usually is in a form of a relationship or somebody telling me something that's very uncomfortable for me to hear. And I'm like, ooh, I need to fix that about me. Ooh, I need to go journal that out because some feelings popped up and I don't like those. I need to deal with that. But if I wasn't relying on God, I can't be okay with that. But when I rely on God, I'm safe in the vulnerable moments. When I rely on God, I'm comforted in the broken places. I believe God sits there. I was praying for some people this morning. There was just some things happening in this church. And I was sitting there watching the sunrise this morning. And I just thought, here you are again, God, showing off one more day. And I was just in this presence of God. And as I did, he began to speak to me and he brought these people to my remembrance. And I started to pray for them. And the Lord showed me them in their rooms. They were young, broken, hurting, and crying. And I saw God just hovered around them, hugging them in their brokenness and in the place that they had no answers for. They were just broken. You see, God's in your pain. That's what he spoke to me. He said, rely on me because I'm in the pain. I'm by you in the broken places. I'm nearest to the brokenhearted. I'm with you. I'm waiting for you just to call out. I'm waiting for you just to say, come on, rely on me because I'll cast your care, lay back in my arms because I want to hold you, daughter. See, a virtuous woman can let go of the control and rest in the one who is in control. That's what a virtuous woman is. Those are hard things for us to do because we're women and we have it all together. If we don't, people will die. Like, seriously. I don't know if they'll eat properly. I don't know if they'll like jump off roofs if we're not around to say, that's not okay. Right? But God is saying, you don't have to be in control of everything. When you're with me, you can just be at rest and rely on me. There's a story of a 90-year-old woman. She's an older lady, and she reads the scripture regularly. I cannot say that word, all right? Thank you, Jesus. Give my tongue security. All right, regularly. But now her memory is failing her. Her friends commented, so what's the use of all the reading when you cannot remember what you have read? Her answer is always the same. God has blessed me richly. I will eat well and I sleep well. I have a roof over my head and I am not concerned about my memory. I just do my reading and my God does the remembering. She relies on God and it is not in her natural ability to bring the word back to her. So she just gets the word in her, gets the word in her. My grandma, who I didn't even know I was going to tell you guys a story, but she has Alzheimer's and dementia. And we went to go visit her, I want to say two spring breaks ago. And when we got there, she had her Bible next to her. And I said, Grandma, you still reading your Bible? And she didn't know who I was, but she was so sweet trying to pretend who I was. She's like, oh, I know you. And my uncle, he's such a mess. He's like, let's tell her you're Debbie. And I'm like, let's not. Like, that's so mean. Debbie's my mom, if you don't know that, okay? So I'm like, no. And so my grandma goes, I love reading the Word of God. When I read it, it's in my spirit, but I'm having a hard time reading anymore. And she goes, so do you know what I'm doing? And I said, no. She goes, I'm saying it from memory every day to myself because this was a woman who loved the Lord so much that she read her Bible so much that she memorized whole books of the Bible. I didn't even know this. So in her Alzheimer's, she's able to still meditate on the Word of God, and God is restoring her and filling her up. Girls, let's be women that rely on God so much that we can't get away from the Word, that will be our strength in the broken places. And when life looks like we can't go any further, we can still rest and rely on the Word that he has given us to keep us and to sustain us. Psalms 19, 1 through 8, and the message says, you are blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road. He has set you, God, prescribed the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. What a concept. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping the course that you have set. And then I never have the regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I lean to the pattern of your righteousness and your ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. Isn't that beautiful? That is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet for the very first verse that we talked about. Isn't that beautiful? It represents an ox. It's Aleph, and it's an ox, and it means a virtuous woman, somebody who's strong, and she can break through anything. I think you are a breakthrough woman. Say, I am a breakthrough woman. There we go. We've learned what you are already. Number two, I am honorable. There you go. You are honorable. You go, I don't know if I'm honorable. What does honorable mean? It means trustworthy. You are filled with integrity. And when you speak and you act and you will live with wisdom. I don't know about you, but when I speak, I want to speak some wisdom. When I live, I want to live in wisdom. I want to be full of integrity. I want to know what the in is on what's going on in my home. I want to know what the in is, what's going on with my friends and in my atmosphere and in the church and what God has equipped for me to do and what he set before me in my hand. And that means that I've got to be a trustworthy person. Some of you say, I don't trust anyone. Well, listen, I feel the same way. But you know who I do trust? I trust Jesus Christ. And I know that when I trust God, that he can trust me. And you see, this woman, a husband has to feel safe with his wife. When he doesn't feel safe with his wife, that's when you start seeing marriages start splitting apart. I've done enough marital counseling that I see right where they begin. Okay, that's where you guys started out. Okay. And then they stop trusting each other. They stop talking to each other. They start to become strangers. They're just roommates living in the same house. But God says he doesn't want to be a stranger. He doesn't want to be a roommate. He wants to be a lover. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to trust you safely with his concepts, with his precepts, with his ideas, with his wisdom. He wants to pour that out on you, but he doesn't want to just give it away to somebody who's going to throw it away. He wants to give it to someone who's going to take it, who's going to feed off of it, who's going to fill up her spirit man and walk this thing out in life, and she's going to be that virtuous woman. You are a trustworthy woman. You are an honorable woman. You may not feel that way, but girlfriend, it's in your DNA, so let's pull it up out of us and let's step into it. Proverbs 31, 10 through 15, verse 11, let's start there. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That just sounds amazing. I mean, I said that to Dan, and he goes, that is what you are, sweetheart. And I'm like, really, babe? And he's like, absolutely. I feel like I could talk to you about anything. Well, you know, I had those horrible relationships before, Dan, that I didn't talk about anything with these guys. They went out on me with every girl they could find. And then I was always the one that got cheated on. Do I have any of those girls in this house? It's like, why am I? Do I have a target on my back? Like, just go find a nerd. They're really awesome. Okay? I love my Dan. He had long hair down to here, and he was a guitar player, just so you know. And he was the first white boy I ever dated, just so FYI, okay? I love him so much, but he has taught me how men think, and then he has taught me how I think, and I'm like going, oh, wow, men think totally different than us. You know, they can go into their nothing box. Do you know they have one of those? I really wish I had one. I wish I had a nothing box. My daughter, you know, I have one girl and two boys, and the girl can talk my ear off. Like, to the point where I'm like, I can't rehearse the same conversation over again. I'm like, totally. Oh my goodness, she said that, you know? Oh, did he do that with you? Oh, he brushed up against you today, okay. You know, and there's those conversations, but then I have my boys, hey boys, how'd it go at school? Good. Did you eat your lunch? Yep. Did you like it? Yep. So what happened on the playground? Nothing. Okay, good talk. So exciting to be with you. But when a husband actually meets a wife, guess what happens? They start talking. And they start sharing the intimate things that they didn't even know were on the inside of them. and they begin feeling safe. I remember my husband, we were driving to pick up my car today, and he just drops all these deep thoughts on me, and I'm thinking, now? Like, you got to get out of the car right now, and you're really just opening up. I'm just so excited about this, but really, now? Like, we went on a date, and you said nothing, and now? Like... But he knows that he can talk to me now, right? So can God talk to us now? Can God interrupt your day and you're like, not now, God. I got these crazy kids you gave me to take care of. Or are you gonna be like, hold on, kids. I gotta go hear my father's voice for a second because you won't die when I come back. He's gonna calm me down, right? I'm sorry. Is that just Pastor Jess? Oh my goodness, I need to get saved tonight. Okay. What are we talking about? Okay. All right, Colossians 2:23. I'm sorry, 3:23 it says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and unto men. Listen, whatever you do, girls, be honorable and trustworthy. And you don't do it for men, okay? You don't do it for someone else. You do it unto God. When you work hard, God is watching you. He's watching your effort. He's watching what you do. He's watching how you manage your time. When you're an employee at work and you're doing other things that shouldn't be work, you're stealing from that job. And God notices that. And if you rely on him, he's going to talk to you about it too. He's going to deal with your heart on those things. Because God wants you to be honorable and trustworthy. When you step into a role of honorable and trustworthy, guess what? You're going to get the promotion on the job. You're going to look different than everyone else out there. You're going to have a favor. People are going to come to you for advice. People are going to want what you have. They're going to say, what's different about you? I don't know what's going on, but I know that if I ask you to do this, it's going to get done. When you're honorable and when you're trustworthy, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You see, God has a plan for us, but he needs us to step into these safe places of being an honorable woman. Psalms 25:21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Ooh, yes, God, for I wait for you. You see, I want to be integrous while I'm waiting on what God's word is for me in my life. You see, God has a word for you tonight, and it's that you are trustworthy and that he loves you and that you are this woman. There's a quote, and it says, of all the properties which belong to honorable men, not one is so highly prized as that of the character. Your character is the biggest prize with integrity. What character are you walking around with? When people know your character, they can trust you, you're honorable, and you're trustworthy. You don't want them to be like, don't tell that girl, don't do it. Don't get close to her. Because she's a mess, and then she's going to waste your time, and then she's going to be one of those friends that are like leeches. Don't do that. Be a friend that has a listening ear and isn't always having to talk. Be a wife that is loving your husband, not just only expecting what he should be giving to you. Give back what you want him to give you. Start there first, girls. Be honorable. Be trustworthy. Number three, I am a hard worker. Say, I am a hard worker. All of you can be like, yes, God, I am a hard worker. How many of you woke up at 4 o'clock this morning? I just want to see hands. I'm curious. All right. There's my crew. All right. How many of you woke up at 5, 6, 7, 8? The other hands are getting less and less. 9. All right. If you woke up past 10, we are going to take you outside and beat you. All right. I'm totally kidding. I'm kidding, all right? Strike that from the tape. All right. What's a tape? A tape, younger people, used to be what you put into a little car. Anyways, okay. I don't even know what you would call it now. Strike that from the podcast. Okay. I am a hard worker. You know what? I don't know anyone that can get more done than a woman. I've heard this saying that just ask a busy mom to do something for you, and she'll do it, and she'll get it done. Do you know what that means? She's already stinking busy anyways. What's one more thing, right? Like, literally, fine, I'll do it. That's fine. You're not stressing her out. Just stop talking and let her get it done, right? That's so me. Like, I remember one year I was like, and I'm about to step into this, and I think I've lost my mind again. But I put both my boys in soccer, right? And it was Women Rock Conference, Yep. And GNO season. All right. So what was I thinking? So I have a little guy and a littler guy, and I'm the only one because Dan is here all the time. Do you know I have never ran so much in my life? Because one field was one way, another field was another way. None of the practice were at the same time. I was soccer mom of both teams. I did the snacks. I did this. I came to church. I remember one time I preached at the same time. Right after I got done preaching, I had to go take him to practice, and I sat in my car and I cried. And I said, why did I do this to myself? Oh my gosh. But then Micah gets in the car, Mom, that was so awesome. It was such a great practice. Oh my goodness, I really like my team. And I'm like, that's why I did that to myself. Because he gets to experience some life. He gets to go get some exercise and not be on Fortnite all the time, right? He gets to go, I sacrifice what it is I need so that I can see the betterment of the ones I love, right? But we do that because we love them. You're a hard worker. Listen, girlfriend, let me tell you something. You are equipped to be a hard worker. Remember we talked about you crying and laughing at the same time? Do it, girlfriend, do it. Cry while you work. Laugh while you work. Right? Maybe you need a multitask. Well, listen, not everyone can multitask. We are special. Okay, so get it done, girlfriend, get it done. I'm putting loads in, I'm cooking dinner, I'm doing dishes. This morning, I think I did lose my mind again. I bought this really cool contraption that's supposed to go down into the lint area of the washer machine. Okay, I am the lady that watches infomercials and I'm like, that's so cool. Like, I gotta try it. And Dan's like, seriously? Why are you always watching infomercials when I come home? I bought this thing and it sucks all the lint out of the dryer because then it won't catch on fire. My sister had a fire in her house because of her lint. So I'm always like, oh no, I'm gonna take care of this. So me and my son, Michael, we put that thing together because we had 10 minutes in the morning. There was 10 minutes that we were gonna sit and watch TV. And I said, we are not watching TV this morning. We are gonna clean something. So we put that attachment onto the vacuum and we sucked all of it out. We went outside and sucked it up the tube. Michael was like, that was the coolest thing, Mom. Did you see all that stuff come out? Like, it was amazing. And I told him, you just keep cleaning, buddy. You're gonna be the best husband in the whole world. Like, right? What do you need to squeeze into your day? Well, listen, you're equipped to do it. You've got this, girlfriend. You are a hard worker. I'll tell you, one of my biggest and most favorite heroes is my sister, Kim. She is in here tonight and didn't know I was going to talk about her, but she is a single mom of three amazing men, but she carries three jobs to take care of them, to put food on the table, to meet every need. And I'll tell you something, she's my hero. So when Kim has a little cry moment, it's okay, Kim. Because in these scriptures, I didn't see that God said that you don't get to cry when work is hard, okay? And he didn't say that you wouldn't be tired, girlfriend, because you're gonna be tired. But you know what? You go be tired for the betterment of those that God has put into your world. Maybe you're single today. Maybe you're an auntie. I love Teresa, Reverend Teresa. Isn't she amazing? She's so amazing. I see Reverend Teresa with her nieces and her nephews taking care of them all the time. I see her, she'll tell me, oh, I'm going on an ice cream date today with one of them. Or she'll be at church and she's like, oh, I've got to go. I'm on the kids' side tonight. Bye, guys. I'm going to go get, you know, one of my nieces or nephews. And I'm thinking, she's really fulfilling this as a single woman. She's doing this on a level that people wouldn't do it, give of themselves to pour out for someone else in their life. Girls, you got this. You can do this. You're a hard worker. And listen, you might be tired and you might cry sometimes. That's okay. Just wipe the tears away, take a little nap, all right? Watch Hallmark, because this is what I do. I watch Hallmark, I sleep through the whole middle, and I wake up right at the end when they kiss. Every time. It's like a joke in my family, and I'm like, let me guess, they got together, and I always wake up and say that. Find your moment to take a nap, okay? Take a little 10-minute nap. You go, I can't do that. Listen, there's something called melatonin. Go ahead and take a melatonin when you go to bed at night. It's all natural. It's not a drug. So anyways, okay. Giselle, do you approve? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting off task here. We need to get going. Okay. A woman who felt the burden to complete all of these tasks like God is talking about, she seeks wool and flax, verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. Now, we don't go out and seek wool and flax, right? But we go out and we shop, girls. Ain't nobody gonna eat if we don't go shopping. Now, I do have to say, if you're a working woman in here, get Instacart, okay? Pay the yearly fee, and it shows up on your doorstep for free after that. It's amazing, all right? So I was out of milk the other day, Dr. V. I thought of you, and I said, I'm going to Instacart this. So it's a little tip, okay? And so she seeks wool and flax, and she's willing to work with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. Back then, it was very common to have servants in the house. Now, that's like crazy, right? We're like, I mean, I remember I went to Australia and all the Hillsong people, when my mom used to preach there all the time, they'd be like, what? I just had Chloe, and they're like, you don't have a nanny with you? And I'm like, girl, what? Do you pay those people? Because I can't afford that. And I just remember it was like their culture, right? Like they just had this nanny would cook for them and clean for them. I'm like, I need one of those. Where did they come from? But that doesn't happen, right? For most of us, we're the nanny, we're the shopper, we're the diaper changer, we're the laundry person, right? Can I get an amen? But you got this, girlfriend. You can do this. And God's saying that you go out and you find those things for your family. When you are considering a field, you buy it, is what Proverbs says later on. I love that God has woven into our DNA that we're shoppers, that we get to shop and we get to freely do this, girls. All right? So no guilt, you know, remorse, whatever. You can always take it back. All right? Just save the receipt. Save the receipt. And so here's God, and he's saying, you go and you find this. Have you ever gone to like a gazillion stores and it's like Halloween, you're trying to find the right outfit for your kid because your kid is like, I have to have this, and you're like, I don't know how to sew. So one time I did that, and I got everything, and I was like, I'm going to make a costume. And that thing looked weird. And I'm like, he can't wear this. Because then they're going to go, oh, what is he? And I'm going to be like, I don't know. I think he might be a monster. I had to throw that one away and just go to the store. So he wanted to be a dinosaur. We finally find the dinosaur outfit after like 25 stores dragging little kids around. I think anyone who does that needs to go to the spa the next day, right? Because it was an adventure. But yet, when I came home and he spun around in his cute little outfit with his little tail wagging off the back, and he was walking down the street, he's galloped down the street. It was like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. We still have the video of it. I thought, so worth every hard moment I went through to get that for him. So worth it, right? How much more does God want to do that with us? That all the hard work he's pouring into you right now, developing your heart, getting your mind where it should be, putting your family back together, taking the people out of your family that need to be out of your family. Maybe there's some healthy boundaries that need to be built. That's not a bad thing, guys. Maybe God is saying, if they're not close to me, you don't need to be so close to them right now, because I need to be everything and all to you. That's that relying on. But God is pouring this into you so that you can then go work hard and pour it into others. You see, a virtuous woman works hard. She studies hard. She thinks hard. She makes sure that she's educating herself all the time. Listen, girls, go read a good book this year. Give yourself a goal. Like, I'm going to read a book this year. And read something awesome. Read something extravagant. I'm sure Dr. Teresa, Reverend, whatever she is with all her PhDs, is going to have a gazillion options of books for you. So if you want a good book, ask her of a good one. You have, that's why you have each other, right? So do something where you build up your man. You're feeding yourself so that you can pour out and work hard, because you work very hard. And I want to say, well done. I'm here to say, well done, girls. You've raised those kids. They're adults now. And you know what? You've done your job. Whether they're doing what they should be doing, that doesn't mean you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I'm here to tell the older generation that you were a good mom. And when you ask yourself, did I work hard enough? Did I do enough? They're not doing what they should be doing right now. Listen, your job isn't done yet, but this is what your job is now. And this is what your job is now. And you watch God do something new in their lives. You watch God begin to become alive and well in their hearts. You see, God is not done with you yet, and God is not done with them yet. You work hard to see salvation come into your families. You work hard to see your marriage restored. You work hard to find what God has for you with your education and maybe a new business. What is it that God is birthing on the inside of you that you know is going to require some hard work? I'm here to tell you, you are her. You can do the hard work. You've got this, girlfriend. You can do this. Rely on God. Take his plan. Be honorable and trustworthy, and he's going to help you carry it out. If you got something from God tonight, give him a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.